Is hot sleep keeping you awake? The Tempur-Pedic Breeze mattress pulls heat away from your body to help you sleep cool. Shop our Labor Day sale and save up to $700 on select adjustable mattress sets only at Tempur-Pedic.com.
If you're a facilities manager at a warehouse and your HVAC system goes down, it can turn up the heat, literally. But don't sweat it, Grainger has you covered. Grainger offers over a million industrial-grade products for all your operations, including warehouse HVAC maintenance. And even better, they offer access to experts and fast delivery, so you and your warehouse can both keep your cool. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system. Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. What I love about Shopify is how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/westwoodone, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/westwoodone now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/westwoodone.
Thanks for listening to the Hit That Line podcast network. You can now download our new app in the iTunes or Google Play Store. Listen anytime and anywhere on your favorite mobile device. Just search Hit That Line now.
This is the Eastside Liquor Halftime Podcast.
Oh, intermission.
No, it's halftime.
Stop by 9390 Rogers Avenue for the best liquor, beer, and wine deals in the River Valley.
Arkansas wins a national championship!
Check out Eastside Liquor on Facebook for weekly specials.
Say goodbye! Darren McFadden, 80 yards, touchdown!
Do you want to watch the Morning Rush, Halftime, Even, Ruskin, and Zach? Find our live video stream on Facebook, YouTube, X, Instagram, and Twitch. ESPN Arkansas, more than just radio.
Well, anybody want to take a crack and see what Aaron's got going on in the background today? I don't think... Every time I walk outside, it's the cicadas everywhere. It's like, I like to have a phone call, not around anybody, even if I have the kids around. You know, if I'm on the phone with somebody, I want to be kind of by myself, just so I can focus on hearing what that person is saying. And good luck trying to do that when you're outside these days with those cicadas. The word would be a cacophony, and it is never ending, never ending. Great to be here today, though. You know, I remember yesterday I'd let you know that it was Paul Skeens Day, and boy, was it a day for Paul Skeens. I did not mention when we got off the air, just before we were going to get off the air, as I checked the score, that he had thrown 2 no-hit innings against Milwaukee. And then when was it that I texted you yesterday,
Seventh inning.
It was the seventh inning, innings in.
Went right to it. I was looking. I was like, trying to find it. You go, nope, MLB. So I had to catch the next train.
Yeah, unless you've got a subscription to, I forget what they call the network in Pittsburgh now.
You in favor?
Regional sports networks.
You in favor of taking the kid out at 99? Are you like all into this pitch count? I know that's just a hot topic, it seems like, instead of letting the guy go through it. Don't you ask him, hey, how you feeling?
I think you got to go on a case-by-case basis.
Yeah.
You know, look, as I was watching, I watched from about the fourth inning until I had to go leave and pick my son up at his activity. So I listened to the last half inning when Aroldis Chapman closed it down. I didn't like the decision. I got angry. In fact, I started rooting for the Brewers, to be quite honest, because I thought there's a couple of look, I already have, you know, a lot of hatred for the Pirates, hate love for them for numerous reasons. I don't think it was necessarily artificial limit on a pitch count, because they've let him go over 100 pitches about 2 or 3 times this year. Derek Shelton, the manager, said that when he talked to him, Skeens looked tired. They thought he looked tired in that seventh inning, but I don't know how you can tell. He only threw 6 pitches in the seventh inning. And look, I was texting with a couple people about this. I'm like, are we not using our eyes? Skeens still looks really good. Like, he didn't look like he'd lost anything off his stuff. But that's exactly what Shelton said he did. He used his eyes. He didn't go by an artificial limit, and the whole staff thought that Skeens was tired. So, you know, that's twice now that he's been pulled either after six or now seven innings with a no-hitter. And the common denominator amongst those two games, for all the strikeouts that Skeens has recorded this first year as a major leaguer, I think those are the only two games where he has struck out double-digit totals. Usually the pitch count gets a little bit higher. So he had thrown 61 pitches in the first three innings as Milwaukee battled him and he got deeper into the count. And then after that, four innings, 38 pitches, including six pitches in the last inning he threw. So I'm thinking to myself, first of all, you don't have to handle every pitcher exactly the same. It doesn't have to be kid gloves with everybody. This is not Steven Strasburg. Now, he's going to be compared to Strasburg because he's probably come in, not just the number one overall pick, but having the kind of hype that goes into being the overall number one pick. Like, I remember Pittsburgh had a number one pick one time. The overall number one pick, his name was Brian Bullington. He was a right-hander out of Ball State. The Pirates said basically they thought he was going to be a third or fourth starter. And I'm thinking, well, that's a waste of time with the number one overall pick. No. Number one overall picks, usually in your mind, are going to be aces. And Strasburg, he started breaking down quickly, you know, and I think that you want to try to protect your investment while at the same time, maybe in the back of your mind, winning a few games here and there. I just think that they were a little, it felt they were overly cautious about it yesterday when it wasn't quite necessary. I think he could have let him go out for another inning and then make a decision from there. What's to say he doesn't have another six pitch inning? Right.
Well, and what's to say he's not doing things the right way to take care of his body? I go back. I went and watched the Dodgers play the Rockies years ago when Clayton Kershaw was in his prime. And I got there and over an hour early, not to see batting practice or BP to warm up, to see him warm up, to see him go through his process. And it's pretty cool to see, because you see quarterbacks. I mean, I've seen it from that side. You see how people get ready for a game. But when it's game day for a pitcher, do you see Skeens, all the stuff he's doing, the mobility, the stretching, the turning?
An interesting routine.
The lower body stuff, too. That's the thing that I think a lot of us get confused with. Your lower half of your body is just as important as your arm when it comes to being a pitcher. And he's working all that stuff. I think that goes a long ways.
Well, and that's what everybody points to with Nolan Ryan and how, you know, he was never a guy that got hurt until I think the final pitch he ever threw is where he snapped his right elbow at the age of 46. And he focused on the lower body, you know. I mean, what I remember about the upper body from Nolan Ryan is that I saw this with the Travelers. They had a big ball bucket that was filled with rice, uncooked rice. And you would jam your hand into the rice as far as you could go and then pull it back out again and do it over and over and over again.
We had one of those in Jacksonville. Yeah.
Ryan did that. And then he stuck his hand inside pickle juice because it helped with blisters. All right. Then there was all the bicycle work that he did after games and all the running that he did.
His trunks, I mean, his quads, his hips. He had oak trees for legs, man.
Well, so does Skeens.
Yeah.
So does Skeens. You know, and we all have our own theories about why so many pitchers get injured nowadays. And maybe part of it is a little bit of overuse, you know, growing up and everybody's pitching in perfect game and in showcases. I mean, I'm not saying everybody. I mean, those who might actually be able to go on to some sort of a college career and then a professional career. And some of that overuse might start at an early age. Even if you're looking at pitch counts, they're pitching a lot over the course of 5, 6, 7 months. I don't think Skeens did that very much. This is somebody that was a catcher and a first baseman in high school, did a little bit of pitching and wasn't doing all of those showcases. He had made up his mind. He was going to Air Force. So that was just, that's where he went. I just look, there's also the aspect that it feels like a manager never starts a game thinking, well, we're going to go, a no hitter matters to us. A no hitter is usually a win, and the win is what matters the most. And I thought to myself, when they take Skeens out of the game, like, do you want to win the game, or are you just trying to protect an investment in what feels like an artificial way and take away what could be a pretty monumental achievement for a rookie to be throwing a no hitter? But I'll say this. He's going to have other chances. I just wonder if they're ever going to let him get to the pitch to the number of pitches to where you can do this. If you're going to throw a no-hitter, usually you're throwing around 115, 120 pitches, and you just don't see a lot of guys do this very much. And, you know, I mean, so Starting pitchers are paid more. Good starting, great starting pitchers lead Major League Baseball in salaries mostly. You know, but those are also the guys that get injured more than position players and have to miss a year because of whatever sort of arm injury. I'm starting to think, like, are there NFL teams that are looking at running backs the same way? But you just kind of, you know, give somebody 30 carries, 25 carries, 20 carries in a game on a consistent basis and let them run themselves out of their career, because that's what it feels like in the NFL, and they're paid accordingly. Nobody's going to be paying starting pitchers the way that NFL owners are paying running backs. They're always going to be at the front of the list as far as, you know, free agents. And as far as the Pirates should be concerned, they need to do everything they possibly can to keep Skeens in that city for the rest of his career. Because it's like Barry Bonds all over again, you know? The Pirates haven't had the player that everyone's talking about in baseball since Barry Bonds.
Was McCutchen close?
And now this
close?
Is the guy.
When McCutchen was young, was he close to being one of the best, or was he just...
Well, I mean, he was an MVP. Yeah. So, but he wasn't like the thing that everybody was talking about. You got to go see him, you know. And as much as I love Kutch, and maybe he is a Hall of Famer, you can make a case looking at his career statistics. He doesn't lead the baseball conversation the way that Skeens does right now. Just 11 starts into his major league career.
Are him and De La Cruz the two hottest names on that? They're both in the NL Central. Is that right?
That's right. So they face each other once in a while.
Yeah.
More often than I guess they would if they weren't in the same division. But yeah, on the other side, I mean, you look at Gunnar Henderson, Bobby Witt Jr. on the American League side. But there's something about pitchers that can be dominant, especially when they just come up out of the minors and they're exactly as good as advertised. Strasburg was too. But his injury issues started early. I understand wanting to protect your investment, but it feels like there was some glory taken away from Skeens yesterday. If I was him, I'd be a little bit pissed about it. I really would. On the other hand, you know, they say they have his best interests at heart. Sometimes I feel that it's almost an artificial way to try to keep somebody's salary down when they hit arbitration in a couple of years. Because that's exactly how jaded I am about the major league team that I grew up with. Pirates haven't had a complete game no-hitter, Matt, thrown since 1976, the year before I was born. John Candelaria. Yeah. Yeah, they had a combined no-no in 97 with Francisco Cordova and Ricardo Rincon, but haven't had a complete game no-hitter thrown by a pitcher in 48 years. So I think that would have happened yesterday. Just watching Skeens, the way he was dominating and the way that I think that his attitude and what he was doing changed in that last two innings. He was pitching a contact. He could have done that the last couple of innings, and I think it would have been just as I think he would have had the same sort of success. So, I mean, they still won the game, so I should be happy, but I actually walked away muttering, like, man, I wish they would have lost that game because I hated that decision.
Darryl Moose Johnson, years away, number 48, fullback for the Dallas Cowboys.
Today's 48 days away.
Well, it's 48 years since
So we're actually...
We're all over it.
We're not at 48 days until the start of the football season, but we ought to be pretty close to it.
We might be at 48.
Yeah. I think it might be something like 52.
It was 49 yesterday or 2 days ago. We were already in the 40s. On the commercial that they play,
Well, I'll ask my Alexa in a little bit, and then I'll add one to it, because she usually gives me the wrong answer. AT, we missed you last week. How you been?
Well, I was by my phone last week. You guys were off. The week before, that was where was I that week, that Friday? What would that have been? I don't even know where I was. Summer's going by so fast, I don't even know where I'm at half the time. Am I here? Am I there? Am I anywhere? I don't even know anymore, Phil.
Well, it was majorly important. Otherwise, you would have been on the show. That's for sure. Yeah, that's right. I forgot. Last week we weren't on the air, and this whole, it's like you can't remember where you are on a weekly basis during the summertime. We do know that, and I've just seen this, that Paul Skeens will be starting the Major League All-Star game for the National League.
Oh yeah,
he'll be just the fifth rookie to ever start the Major League All-Star game. The last one was Hideo Nomo in 1995. And he wasn't really like a rookie. He was a major league rookie. He had a 6-year career in the Japanese major leagues by that point. So it's something when the number one overall pick is as good as advertised, AT, and it looks like Skeens definitely is.
Well, yeah, I just saw this. You know, I've been following loosely, and I know yesterday he got pulled from a no-hitter with 99 pitches or whatever. But I just tweeted out because I'm not really a baseball guy. You guys know I like to have some fun. And, you know, when one coach leaves for their biggest rival the day after the national championship game, then maybe I'll have an opinion or two. But generally just casually kind of follow the sport. And I couldn't really remember anything quite like this. And it's funny, Phil, because I did think of Hideo Nomo. That, you know, when I was obviously younger, I was much more into baseball. And I do remember that summer of, I believe, 96. I mean, he really took the sport by storm. But to your point, I'd have to look it up, but I'm pretty sure he was like a 27, 28-year-old rookie, not a guy that was in Omaha rubbing elbows. You know, well, he wasn't at he wasn't rubbing elbows with Phil Elson at the Hog Pen a year before. So it's a cool story, and you know, I think it's a testament to the talent of baseball. I know he's a once in a generation guy, but it's a testament to the talent of baseball players in the SEC. And it's kind of an incredible story that you know, again, 1 year after leading LSU to a national championship, he's playing, he's starting the All-Star game.
Well, I wonder, what have you thought of listening or watching or reading around Big 12 Media Days here this week? We've had the Mike Gundy thing, that was a great way to start talking season. You had the Shador Sanders saying that every game Colorado plays is their Super Bowl, which I see you've got an interesting thought on that, which I think some people say there's no way that's true, but then a lot of those people will tune in to watch that game. And now that's all in the background with the rumors of maybe Clemson and Florida State like getting into the Big 12 sometime soon, which I don't believe. It has been an interesting week in the Big 12.
Well, it's been an interesting week. You know, the Gundy stuff, you know, I generally, you and I have been doing this forever, Phil, is that, you know, when everyone has the same opinion on something, it's like, I don't need to come out against drunk driving. I think we all have a similar opinion on that. You know, the Shador stuff, I will say, I was a little, you know, listen, everything Deion says, everything Shador says is a thing. But one, if you actually listen to the clip, he kind of says it in passing. But two, I will say, like, I mean, I live not that far from the Rose Bowl. UCLA can tell me how many people they get. I think it's usually about probably 20, 25,000. They had 71,000 people when Colorado was there. They had to literally take off tarps that they don't take off ever when Colorado was in town. Dan Lanning, I always seem to remember one of his pregame speeches being aired last year, and it wasn't against Washington in the Pac-12 championship game to go to the college football playoff. It was against Colorado. Arizona State sold out at a stadium that they really don't sell out very often. So, you know, by the way, Matt Rhule in an interview the other day said how important Colorado is for college football because Deion Sanders brings in a crowd that normally wouldn't watch the sport. So, you know, I mean, I try not to let my facts get, I try not to get, let facts get in the way of my feelings. But I was a little surprised by that. And then as far as the realignment stuff, you know, listen, we know Florida State wants out. We know Clemson would be behind them. I'm with you, Phil. I don't know that what would you go to the Big 12 for? A little bit more money? The competition isn't better. The league isn't better. But those are certainly the rumblings. Those are certainly what people are saying. That's one I need to see before I believe. But then again, I would say, you know, when Texas and Oklahoma, when it was first rumored that they were going to the SEC, I said it doesn't make sense for the other SEC schools, and it happened like 2 days later. So who knows there? But I'm with you, is that that one doesn't feel like it makes a ton of sense on paper, but maybe I'm missing something big there.
Hey, Aaron, this Sunday, it's not the Super Bowl for the NFL, but it is a Super Bowl. You got the European Championship, Spain and England at 2, and then you get Messi. Could be his last game at Argentina. They're going to take on Colombia for the Copa Championship. Do you pay attention to soccer at all?
Kind of like baseball. The European tournament's on during the day. I'm usually kind of running around, but I've kind of enjoyed having the Copa on at night. It was funny, there was an early round game at SoFi Stadium. Me and my father-in-law almost went about 2 weeks ago because he loves soccer. We weren't able to make it happen, but I found it to be very entertaining. Just, you know, there was a stretch where it was like every game was ending in a shootout. And I, you know, over the July 4th holiday, I was at home. I was actually doing a lot of Fox Sports Radio. And so, you get home from doing radio during the day, you kind of just throw on the TV, throw a couple burgers on the grill, have a good time. So I've enjoyed the tournaments. I don't know much about much of anything. I was actually watching the Colombia-Uruguay game when the players started fighting and the fans started fighting. So it's definitely, listen, I think it's been a great kind of thing to fill the void in the summer. I know football is basically here at this point, but it's been a fun thing to fill the void during the summer. Obviously the Olympics are coming. That's going to be a fun 2-3 week stretch as well. But I've been watching, I don't know that I have any like amazing takes on it, but I've been watching and certainly enjoying it.
I mean, I told this the other day on the show, I don't know how you get your TV, but I use YouTube TV. And, all these websites think they know you better than you know yourself. And in some cases, maybe they're right. So it tells you, it puts the first thing on that it thinks you want to watch. And it put on Dodgers Phillies, because normally that's what I'd want to watch. I actually turned the television on to put on the match that you were referring to, the soccer match. Like there are high school friends of mine. If they put 17-year-old Phil next to 47-year-old Phil, they would think these are two totally different people based upon my choice of what I watched on Sunday.
Well, it was a one-off. I don't know that, you're buying, Atlanta FC tickets and driving 8 hours each way to go to games or anything like that. But no, I mean, listen, what I would say is that, I think what stands out is, first of all, we're Americans. I think we love anything at the highest level. We get to watch the best basketball players, best baseball players, football players in the world. But two, I do think there's something to, the national element of it, country against country. And I think what's clear, and, I don't know if the U.S. fits into this category, but all these countries care so much. Like, I was telling my wife, I was blown away. If you watch that Colombia game on whatever it was, Tuesday or Wednesday, that whole stadium was full of yellow in North Carolina. It was like, dude, these people care so much, and Brazil, listen, I'm far from the right person to talk about this, but I think there's urgency. The players clearly care. We watch sports where like the NBA, there's 82 regular season games. Guys aren't invested. Even college basketball. I love college basketball, but you play 31 regular season games, you're not going to have the same energy every single night. Where you watch these tournaments, you can tell how much it matters to the fans. You can tell how much it matters to the players. There's the urgency of the single elimination. I just think it makes for great TV, like you said, Phil, even if, again, I'm just not the expert on who's going to win and what it's going to look like and who's doing what. But I have found myself very entertained by this tournament.
Hey, Aaron, with Kawhi Leonard having to step down, which is probably a smart move, were you surprised that it was Derek White and not Jaylen Brown? And did you see the clip where they were interviewing Jason Tatum? Do you think is there anything there, or there's nothing there because they just won a title between Tatum and Brown?
I felt bad for Tatum because he kind of had to answer some questions that he clearly had no, it's not like Jason Tatum had a say in it. And, I felt bad for him because, if you say that Jaylen should be there, then it means that you're saying that Derek White shouldn't be there. So, listen, I think it's that time of year. There's not a lot going on. But I will say, I'm far from the biggest NBA guy, but I did actually watch that exhibition the other night, and I actually really enjoy watching all those players play together. And I think there's something, again, a lot like what we were just talking about with soccer, the idea that, that all these guys are going to be playing really hard and giving 100%, and there's a lot on the line. And so I'm really looking forward to it. I felt bad for Tatum because I think he got put in kind of a crappy position where if he credited one person, he had to discredit the other person. But overall, I'll say I did watch that exhibition, which was on right after the Colombia match the other night. And I'm really looking forward to USA basketball. Now, let me ask you guys a question. You guys going to Dallas next week? And if so, what are you most intrigued by? Because I can't believe that we are already here, but we are already here, people. Football is upon us.
Ty Richardson will be headed to Dallas.
He's our ambassador
at SEC Media Days. Yeah, he is he is the ESPN Arkansas.
He gets all the good trips.
He is the ambassador, but he is also the designated karaoke singer. So that's why he's going.
Food eats first. That's all I know. That's what I've been told. So
absolutely. Yeah. I mean, so
that's his line.
This I mean, it's going to be a really interesting week just in terms of, you know, getting a new coach in at Alabama and Kalen DeBoer. And he's got, I mean, I think this is a fantastic coach just looking at where he's won and the rate that he has won, and probably has his most talented roster that he's ever had before. And you're thinking of Georgia, you know, getting back into the playoff after back-to-back national titles. Of course, the Texas and Oklahoma teams coming in. Texas is right now is a front runner along with Georgia and Ohio State for a national championship. And how many SEC teams can make it into the playoff 12 this year? I mean, it's just a short list of probably like 800 questions that you could ask any of the coaches that'll be up there this next week. But it is the marquee media days, right? You know, Big 12 had to get out of the way first. ACC scheduled their media days at the same time that the Big Ten is going on. I saw the Pac-2 still did a media day yesterday. And then next week is all SEC. And really, here's the person that everybody wants to hear from, Greg Sankey. Greg Sankey is who everybody wants to hear from. And, you know, you'll get, I don't know if you could call it coach speak, but you'll get some commissioner speak. But this is the guy that does, I mean, he moves the needle. He moves the needle.
He does. And it's just like, it just feels like this weird time where so much has changed. We know about the realignment and 12-team playoff, but it feels like there's a lot more coming, and it doesn't feel like it's that far down the pipe. I mean, not just the stuff we know about paying players, all that, but like the, it just feels like we got to be getting close to whatever the future of college football is. Like, I know we started talking about Florida State and Clemson. I don't have any amazing perspective on it other than what I hear and read. It's pretty under the wraps, but it just feels like we can't keep going. This team moves here. It can't go on forever. No. At some point, there's got to be, however many teams it is, they break off, do their own thing, and we get some semblance of stability back for the Olympic sports and whatever. Don't know if that'll happen. Don't know when it'll happen. But to your point, Phil, you know, Greg Sankey's the guy that has his finger on the pulse of all that. And I don't expect him to say anything earth-shattering, but I think it'll be interesting to see going forward.
And you're right about that. I mean, so there's like the micro conversations about what's, you know, what your team looks like and what the season might look like and everything. But the macro conversation around college football, man, I think when you're going to see the change, you know, that playoff, the college football playoff gets changed again in a couple of years. This contract runs out after two seasons. Follow the money, follow the TV contracts. That's when things will change in a pretty massive way. But you're right. It won't be like the little piecemeal of this team going here, this team going there. It'll be a big break off of like a chunk of teams, 30, 40, who knows, that form their own thing. But I think you're right about that. And there will be questions about it next week, too.
No, and it just feels like, you know, because you see all this stuff about Florida State and Clemson. Well, what does the ACC do, and who do they add? And it's like, who cares? Like, just get me to wherever the finish line is with however many teams it is. You know, obviously, as somebody who loves college basketball, I'm hoping the tournament stays in some semblance of its current form, 68, 72, whatever. But we don't break up the bracket. We don't take out the small schools. But, like, we just can't keep going on like this. I mean, obviously, look, you look at where we are now, Cal, Stanford, et cetera, in the ACC, the Big Ten, the SEC, you know, making smart decisions. It's like, it's just a weird place, and it keeps getting weirder. And I know I keep banging home the same point. I know you guys got to run, but just feels like we got to get to whatever this finish line is. And to your point, Phil, Greg Sankey's the guy that probably more than anybody has the answer to those questions.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Is hot sleep keeping you awake? The Tempur-Pedic Breeze mattress pulls heat away from your body to help you sleep cool. Shop our Labor Day sale and save up to $700 on select adjustable mattress sets only at Tempur-Pedic.com.
At your job, do you ever have to deal with a nose roller? How about a snub pulley? Well, if you're installing a new conveyor belt system, dealing with the different components can sound like you're speaking a foreign language. Luckily, you've got a team ready to help. Grainger's technical product specialists, are fluent in maintenance, repair, and operations. So whenever you want to talk shop, just reach out. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The Arlington Resort Hotel and Spa has everything you want for your next getaway. With the luxury and hospitality of a grand old Southern hotel, the accommodations are sure to please everyone. Visit our thermal water bathhouse for mineral water baths and massages, or enjoy one of our many dining options, like our Friday night seafood buffet, primetime in a fountain room every Saturday night, or our award-winning Sunday brunch. Located in downtown Hot Springs, the Arlington is steps away from shopping, entertainment, Bathhouse Row, and the hiking and biking trails of the National Park. Visit ArlingtonHotel.com for more info.
BetOnline is your number one source for all your sports betting needs this season. From baseball, golf, soccer, right to all the top fights in UFC, MMA, and boxing. Every stat, every matchup, and even live odds and spreads while the games are being played. When the game's over, head over to our online casino and get in on a game of blackjack or poker, or unwind with one of our over 150 slots games. Head to the website today to get in on the action. Use promo code BELIEVE for your 50% free bet credit on your first deposit up to $250. Bet online. The game starts here.
Well, sad news overnight about the passing of former Arkansas defensive coordinator, and I mean one of, maybe the most famous defensive coordinator amongst them, in Monty Kiffin, passed away. That would have been last night, age 84, in Oxford, of course. I didn't actually realize that he was living out the last of his years in Oxford, but he had definitely been following Lane around from Florida Atlantic, USC, Tennessee, and also at Ole Miss, where he was a player personnel analyst. That's somebody that, no matter how old, I think you would have liked to hear what he had to say about anybody on your football team.
My top five defensive coordinators, and I know they're head coaches, but the guys calling the shots, Phil, it's Bill Parcells, it's Nick Saban, it's Bill Belichick, it's Pete Carroll, and it's Monty Kiffin. I mean, that's the top five, and I'm sure I'm missing somebody right there, but he's on the list, man. That Tampa 2, you can't say Monty Kiffin and not say Tampa 2. I mean, that's credit to him.
And he only had one shot at being a head coach. He was a head coach for North Carolina State for three seasons after leaving Arkansas following the 79 season. 3 years at Arkansas, and you know the famous Orange Bowl win over Oklahoma. That was Kiffin's first year as the Razorback defensive coordinator. He'd come over from Nebraska, where he'd been a star player and then also a graduate assistant and the defensive coordinator there. So the Razorbacks were his first, I mean, anything involving football after leaving his alma mater in Nebraska. And you see Lane Kiffin, man, you can see. I mean, you follow Kiffin's a fun follow on Twitter or X, whichever one you want to call it. Maybe at some point I'll get to X. And
that's just because Elon Musk names everything X. That's
pretty
his,
much
his thing. He started in 99. Yeah, that's why.
That's
he does,
right.
Yeah.
You know, Lane's got photos of him next to his dad. Lane wearing a Viking shirt. They're on their knees on what looks like an artificial field. Then when he's the head coach of NC State, joining his dad on a white horse. Monty is wearing, no, those aren't chaps. He just has the pair of jeans. He's got a gun holster, and I can't tell if that's a real gun or not inside the holster. But that's a sharp looking getup, and he's got a robber mask on with Lane with a big smile on his face there too. Tampa Bay Bucks have put out a tweet in memoriam to him, Nebraska football as well. And what were the DCs that you said?
So my top
DCs?
Five, my top, and this is not in just in any order. It's whatever order you want to put it. But Bill Parcells, mm-hmm. Nick Saban, Bill Belichick, Pete Carroll, and Monty Kiffin. Those are my, and I know I'm probably missing somebody, but that would be. I don't know. That's that you can't talk about defense as far as NFL, college football, playing to get the defensive side of the ball without mentioning those guys.
I got to check about Pete Carroll, whether or not he's in the College Football Hall of Fame. The other three are in various halls of fame.
Pete Carroll, though, Arkansas, like, contact too.
Yeah. Are there any coaches that were strictly coordinators? Now, I know Kiffin was a was a head coach for 3 years, but out of a career that lasted over.
Well, they all start as coordinators and they kind of elevate to the head coach. Yeah.
But his career started as a defensive coordinator in 1969.
Oh, my goodness.
His last, you know, job as a real assistant, not as an analyst, was in 2019 in Lane's last year at Florida Atlantic. I mean, that's an incredibly long career. Most of his time was spent as a defensive coordinator.
You know, been until he was 69 or so, huh? Because he passed away at 74. So, yeah.
And you've also pointed out how, I mean, you can't think Tampa 2 without thinking of him.
It was, you're always trying to figure out how to cover every blade of grass and how to kind of, you know, manipulate the offense and giving them something different. And running that Mike linebacker to cover that middle third, man, that really closed down, that closes down that deep end, that closes down that glance route, the deeper post route or the deeper slant route. It takes away some of that stuff and makes it different for the quarterback. And then you got to start a whole new way to go about it.
So, Coach Kiffin passing away again at age 84 in Oxford yesterday. And I know there's some listeners out there that have some memories of Coach Kiffin teams at Arkansas or defenses that he coached at Arkansas. Dan Hampton would have been one of the guys that was his during his 3 years as the Razorback defensive coordinator. Memories of Monty Kiffin, 877-377-6963, if you want to hit on anything involving that. So I was looking at the major league rookies who have started the All-Star game before. And all right, so there's Nomo, there's Fernando Valenzuela in 1981. All of these pitchers, when you're a rookie that starts a major league All-Star game, that means you are a wunderkind, that means you are a phenom, and that also probably means everybody's focusing in on what it is you're doing. There's Nomo, Valenzuela, Mark Fidrich, and Dave Stenhouse. I don't remember much about Stenhouse, who started the 1962 All-Star game. As far as the other three, these were the guys everybody was talking about at the midpoint of the season and, heck, throughout the rest of the year for the most part. Fidrich, I think Chuck had brought him up the other day. He was known as the Bird. He was a rookie that had all kinds of...
Didn't he have the cool mustache?
Well, he didn't have the handlebars. He was freshly shaved. He had a big head of hair.
Mm.
Red, curly hair. And he was weird. Like, he had a very odd pitching delivery. He would talk to the baseball in front of everybody. He would talk to the baseball.
Like Happy Gilmore?
Just had some mannerisms that were really, really weird and a style of pitching that just caught everybody by fire. That's a guy who didn't get any farther than, I think, 2 or 3 years because of overuse and an injury. Fernando Valenzuela, I mean, there's a word, Fernando Mania. I think people still know what that meant from 1981.
I thought that was his last name. Whenever I heard about him.
You know, Fernando is a guy that could have been a Hall of Famer, but he also suffered from maybe a little bit of overusage. And then there's Nomo. When Nomo came in 95, I mean, he had a 6-year Japanese major league career, but it was so rare. In fact, I don't remember any Japanese players during my lifetime before Nomo came over. So everybody was interested in him to begin with. And then he had that crazy pitching delivery with that leg going all the way back, his arms going all the way back and up, and that fork ball that would just drop out of the middle of the sky. And he was a phenom. Skeens is exactly like these guys, but maybe even a little bit more so, because he came out of college baseball and because he came from a national champion and because he was the number one overall pick. None of these other four were number one overall picks.
Well, why does he remind me? I haven't seen Skeens as much as you, but he reminds me of a young Verlander. Who does Skeens remind? I mean, I know he's his own person, but who's another bigger guy that you think? When you see Skeens, I think, man, I saw that 20 years. Verlander was doing that.
I haven't been able to think in my mind of a comparison to exactly the way he pitches. Some people want to compare him to Nolan Ryan because of just the strikeouts now, and I think the two of them are the only pitchers in history to have two starts of 6 innings or more, no hits, and 11 strikeouts. The difference is that when Ryan threw those two games the same year, he completed no hitters. Skeens wasn't allowed to try in either of the two that he's tried. Ryan, though, was a different kind of a pitcher than Skeens. When Nolan Ryan was a rookie, he would have had trouble throwing the ball to the broadside of a barn. That was the big thing for him in his career. He didn't have that kind of command. He had the stuff. Eventually, he got the command. Skeens already has that command.
Like that, what's his two best pitches right now?
Fastball. And then he's got this. He's got this slider that he can just sort of, that he can pitch off the fastball. Comes off the same arm slot. It's on the same, you know, the pitch is coming down. They call it tunneling. It's down the same angle essentially. And then one just explodes forward, and the other one explodes to the left. And he's got this splinker combination, sinker and splitter. He's got three or four pitches that are nearly unhittable when he puts it where he wants. And he'll be starting the Major League All-Star game, and I can't wait to see it. Very quick segment here as I was just briefly looking over the history of Japanese players in Major League Baseball. This is what we brought up Hideo Nomo in the last segment. The first Japanese player to play in the majors was Masanori Murakami. Pitched for the Giants 1964 against the Mets at Shea. First Japanese player ever to appear in a Major League game. And then, man, I don't think another Japanese player came over. I may be wrong about it, but I mean people born in Japan until Nomo did. I mean, I remember that too when Nomo came over. There was more attention on him than Skeens is getting right now. And part of that is because of baseball's place, I think, in the American sports culture. It's back in the 90s, you could still legitimately say that that Major League Baseball was as popular as the NBA. You can't say that now. It kind of started changing a little bit in the 90s. And then about 20 years ago, I think, one overtook the other.
Hey, sports fans, don't let plumbing issues throw you off your game. Pascal Air Plumbing and Electric is here to tackle those pesky drain blockages and ensure your water heater is always in MVP form. With Pascal's world-class service, you can count on a winning play every time. Whether it's a quick drain clear or a water heater touchdown, Pascal's got the expertise to keep your home running smoothly. Stay in the game and leave the plumbing to the pros. Schedule your service online anytime at gopascal.com. Pascal Air Plumbing and Electric.
Eastside Liquor has a large selection of summertime lake drinks. Stop by to pick up some Welch's Vodka Cranberry and Vodka Transfusion, Minute Maid Spiked Strawberry Daiquiri and Lime Margarita, Bikini Island Variety Pack, some Smirnoff Smash Vodka Soda. Try their Gin and Juice Citrus and the Variety Pack by Dre and Snoop, High Noon Vodka Seltzers, Sun Cruiser Iced Tea Vodka, Surfside Charter Pack, Topo Chico Hard Seltzer, and White Claw Hard Seltzer. Eastside Liquor at 9390 Rogers Avenue in Fort Smith.
I think we may have figured out a nickname for Colton Little, who's sitting in the chair across from Matt right now. Usually that's where Christian Johnston is sitting. And how many different C nicknames have we handed over to Christian? Like 50 of them?
He's kind of like the iPod shuffle. That's right. Yeah.
Nickname shuffle. Mm-hmm. It's kind of, you don't even have to pick one. You just drop your thumb. You got one ready for you to go. We could have a nickname 8-ball for him at some point. What do you think about Colton? What do we have a nickname for him here? Because I think we might have fallen on one that works.
Colt 45 is what thinking of 45. Yeah, where's 45? You know, there you go, MJ. I mean, you gotta love the number 45. You know, it's a good one.
I like that. I will take it. It's with endearment. It also shows some sense of like masculinity and strength. And so I'll take that as well because I usually don't embody that. So thank you.
I like the honesty there, or maybe the self-deprecation. Those two things sometimes are not exactly the same thing. 45. You're not. What's your age here? 45.
Who's 25. Is Biden the 45th president?
Trump was.
Trump's the 45th. Yeah. So will he be the 47th? Do you get both, or do you stay as 45th?
No, it's in succession. So they'd be the 47th.
So he's gonna be like Kobe and have two jerseys retired. Y'all really gonna give Trump two jerseys to retire?
Yeah, we'll find out in a few months. That's for sure. Calls and texts at 877-377-6963. I mean, sometimes they do refer to the president just as the number.
When you have the team comes by, when the Tennessee Volunteers would win women's basketball championships in the 90s and go see Bush or Clinton, they would give the 42. That would be the number that they would give to Clinton. Yeah.
So you'll be 45, Colton, but it has nothing to do with politics. It doesn't have anything to do with your age. It just has something to do with the first four letters of your first name having a little something to do with a very famous firearm. That's the original name of the Houston Astros. They were the Colt 45.
Man, can we get a Nolan Ryan Colt 45 jersey? Did he ever wear that?
No, no.
Oh, my goodness.
Been, I guess the Astros were the 45s, the Colt 45s. And when did they come in? Was it 62? It was like 3 years.
Okay.
And then once they built the Astrodome, they changed the name.
They should have stayed the 45s. That would have been
They'd have had two zigzags. That would have been all they needed. Yeah.
My guess is by now, by the time the Washington Bullets changed their name to the Wizards, you probably would have had a name change there too.
Right. But when Baron Davis was at the Clippers and he wore that bucket hat with the bullets in the hat, I mean, I don't know how much more gangster that gets right there.
Just trying to. Nolan came up with the Mets. He was scouted by a man named Red Murph, signed by the Mets. I think that was before the draft ever was around. So I don't know if Nolan Ryan was drafted. And it took him a while to get up there and stick in the big leagues. You know, the only World Series he ever pitched in was 1969 with the Mets, and he wasn't even a starting pitcher for most of that year. He was a reliever. And then in the Angels, then the Astros. And I think Nolan Ryan may have been the first million-dollar baseball player, million-dollar-a-year ball player when he signed with the Astros as a free agent. Think about that.
That would have been like 79
million dollars a year, first player ever to do it. And here we are where what did our man from the Celtics sign for? Jaylen Brown?
What was it? $250 million? Well, Larry Bird was the first million-dollar basketball player. Who was the first million-dollar football player? And then also,
that she was a running back. That's just my guess. And then we
whose career
now?
Well, I think it might be a running. I think it's a quarterback. Whose career would you want? Honestly, Dan Marino or Nolan Ryan? Both that early success, playing in the Super Bowl, playing in the World, and then never getting back. Who was the baseball player that got there with the Arizona Diamondbacks this last year? Was it Luis Gonzalez? Or who was the guy that... Even Longoria.
Longoria,
you know, he had like 15 years in between or 17 years, something crazy. Because I'll never forget Dan Marino talking about how precious it is and how priceless it is that you think, oh man, I'm a youngster, I got here, I'm going to get back there multiple times and have a chance. And you even said this with Paul Skeens, like, we don't know that he's going to get another chance for this to be seven innings deep with a no hitter. Never made it back again. Neither did Nolan Ryan.
You know, the weird thing about Ryan, when you look throughout his career, there were many years where he was not the ace of his team. For as legendary as he was, you know, he pitched on the same staff at the Mets as Tom Seaver. He was not the ace of that team. When he was with the Angels, he pitched on the same staff as Frank Tanana. And until Tanana had the elbow injury, Tanana was the ace of that team. When he was with the Astros, there was Joe Niekro. There was Mike Scott. Scott was a Cy Young Award winner. Nolan never won one. And I don't think he ever really was like the unquestioned ace of his team until the Rangers, you know. And I'm not saying that as like a denigration of his career. That's how some people denigrate his career. He just was on some hard throwing, tough pitching staffs, and they just couldn't. A lot of those teams couldn't get out of their way. You know, just couldn't. The Angels were pretty good when Ryan was there. They won a division, never got to the World Series. The Astros were really good when he was there. They should have beaten the Mets in the 86 Championship Series. They blew it. The Rangers were good when he was there. They just weren't as good as the A's, and they played in the same division as the A's. So, but that's a guy that Paul Skeens is going to be compared to now because of the strikeouts, because of the big body, because of the velocity, and the stuff too. It does translate a little bit. But he is the ace of this team. That's the thing. I don't know if Ryan ever started a Major League All-Star game. There was a very good chance he did not. If he did, it would have been probably very late in his career when there was a little more emotion involved behind it.
Who was the so I know Maddux is in the Hall of Fame. Is Glavin and Smoltz both in the Hall of Fame?
Yeah.
Who's the best like trio of, because I think it's pretty cool if Nolan Ryan's not your starter, he's your, who's the best trio of pitchers that you think in a rotation? Is that Braves group that was in the 90s of Maddux, Glavin, and Smoltz? Is that
you
up
could
there?
Even look at their,
and who
their,
do you like first? Who would be your number, your A player out of that group?
Oh, Maddux. It'd have to be Greg Maddux. Yeah, who knew what he was doing. I mean, look at some of the staffs like the Orioles had in the early 70s, and I may miss on a couple of them. There was like Dave McNally, Bobby Cuellar, Jim Palmer, and there's another pitcher, and I'm forgetting who it was, but they had four 20-game winners. But that's also in an era where some staff still had four-man rotations, right? So they were throwing every 4 days. Skeens is talking about, now I'm pitching every 5 or 6 days, and so they're being overly cautious about his pitch count. You know, I look back. Yesterday was his, I think it was his 18th start. And no, I got to look at my notes here, but he threw 99 pitches, the number of starts that he'd thrown by this time last year. Let's see here. Yeah, 18th start this year, counting time in the minor leagues. They held him to 99 pitches. In Skeens' 18th start last year for LSU, he threw 123 pitches against Tennessee in Omaha, because that game seemed to matter quite a bit. And then the next time out, he threw over 120 pitches again against Wake Forest to get them to the championship series. Because those were must-win games, you know, and LSU wasn't going to take their ace out of the game. Sometimes I wonder if the Pirate, like, it's okay to win, but winning is a byproduct of being overly cautious with your players and not spending money so that you make money. That's, again, how jaded I am as a fan. Let's take a phone call. Here we got Charlie on hold. Hey, Charlie, how you been, and what is up?
Well, TGIF, guys, it's a great day. It's hot. It's all freaking get out, but it's a beautiful day. How y'all all doing?
Man, I'm excited about the weekend. I'm just happy to have a couple of days to do whatever.
Hey, I'm with you on that, but I'll tell you what. You guys are going to add another nickname to Christian, Mr. Johnson over there, because
he already has like 60.
Well, it's going to be 61, Phil, because it's about to be C-Dub. Because he's joining the Tuna. He is joining the Tuna. We're going to be playing this new college football game together. And, you know, they got 3-on-3 squads, and I want to see you on my squad. And
that's so a way to do this, like interactively online, you can play 3 versus 3?
Yes, there's a mode that you can do that. Now, granted, also there's Dynasty, which I'm going to try to kick the C units, but he understands that. But, you know, I'm excited for this game coming out, and yeah. You're going to have to call him C-Dub when he joins up with the Tuna field.
Hey, Tuna, T-Dub. Now, if he's going to be C-Dub, you can be T-Dub. Will they, let's get into your lifestyle finances here. Which level of the game are you going to purchase?
I ain't even going to lie to you, Phil. I've saved up. I bought the biggest.
You got
to
buy the best if you're going to get it. That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
I go all in, Phil.
He got the deluxe double secret probation version of EA College Sports or College Football.
Man. And you know what's crazy about it is with what they're saying about this game is I don't even know how much I'm going to play Madden anymore. So, but anyway, I did get that. Yes.
Way that the college game overtakes overtakes Madden, right? And Madden, like, I understand.
Yeah.
We're all fired up about EA Sports College Football because it hasn't been here for, what, 13 years, even longer than that? But Madden is king of the video games. It's not
of
going
course.
To supersede this.
No, because there's no way they don't have. But I think just there's just so much about college football that's different, and you're right. And then the fact that it's coming back, I wanted to ask you something though, Phil, about Will McIntyre. And yesterday, you know, he had talked about, you know, trying to improve his curveball a little bit, right? And also he was talking about shortening that motion a bit. Is that something to maybe? Because I know he got a little bit tired down the stretch last year. With his cutter, obviously against righties, you want to keep that thing down, breaking away, right? Is that something that might can help that cutter? You know, obviously that's something maybe that can help locate that. And also, he's got that two-seam, right? I know he has a two-seam that he likes to throw. And then he's got – those are basically his two pitches. So if he's trying to get this curveball, and do you think he'll be able to, execute that, get that done, and – you know, what's your thoughts on him? Because I know he said he didn't really care what role he had. Do you think he'll be in the starting rotation? To me, Will can do anything, but anything to help the team.
Charlie, I'd be surprised if he's a starter. Not to say he might not start a game or something when necessary, if needed, or late in the season if there are some injuries. But there are like another 7 or 8 possible starting pitchers. I just don't think that he'll crack the rotation. I think he's going to be a really important piece of the team. And, you know, I'm a layperson as a pitching coach. So, I mean, I'm not the one to, you know, detail what he needs to do for his cutter to be where it needs to be. But when I watch McIntyre pitch, one thing that stands out about him is how he's just so good at getting on top of the ball And maybe there might have been a little bit of a difference in how that arm was coming back and to how he was trying to get on top of it when the cutter wasn't quite acting the way that he wanted it to act. And yeah, the curveball too. So it's just a slight little difference sometimes in that arm action can make the difference. And again, that's my layperson's idea on this. And speaking of pitching, we've got a pitcher on hold here too. He'll take us into the break. Woods is with us here on the hotline. Hey, Woods, how you been?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm good. Thanks, man.
I just got back from my Aaron Rodgers summer retreat.
How was the? What did you do? Did you do the dark house or did you do the soundless house?
Dude, I went mountain climbing. For 2 weeks.
It's both at the same time. So, okay.
But hey, I'll say this. McIntyre does not need to be in the starting rotation. He needs to be a reliever. He needs to be like that dual force that you bring in whenever you need him. I mean, that is his role, and that's what you need him to be in. But I will say this. And we talked about roster construction with basketball, and I'll say this for baseball. It's changing. JUCO guys are coming back in play.
Oh, yeah.
Right? You're seeing that.
And think of the coaching staff that's there, too. They all have connections to junior college. So, I mean, I'm not saying that's the reason they go and get these guys. I think they just have an understanding that you can find some really good players in junior college ball. But all these coaches have had connections to junior college, whether as players or coaches. So it's like going back to their roots in a sense.
Say this. It's hard for freshmen to be impact players. Like, for real. Because they haven't played against, like, guys that, you know, they're seeing the SEC. Like, it's tough. And I played JUCO. And I played against Albert Pujols. I played against Adam LaRoche. A ton of dudes that played multiple years in the major leagues.
And I also think they understand, Woods, that probably not all of the junior college signees will make it to campus. There's probably a couple of them that are getting drafted. So that's also why I think they've brought in extra outfielders, because I think they think there could be an outfielder or two that may get drafted out of their JUCO class.
And they can be contributors right away. This is where I'm saying freshmen are not going to be contributors right away, generally.
Yeah, like, no, you're right.
There's not a whole lot of guys that can just come step in and be an impact player. So... That's where I say, like, I like where this is going because I love JUCO baseball. It is tough. It is kind of like the minor leagues where you have to ride a bus every day.
Fields are a little bit dustier. The artificial turf has a couple extra tears in it. The baseballs don't get thrown out.
You have to be committed.
Yeah, you use a scuff ball every once in a while just because. That's right.
It's tough. So, I think this is a change in the guard to where, you know, how you're recruiting players, to be honest.
Woods, it's good to hear from you, man. I hope, I don't know if you're done mountain climbing or yet, but we are kind of to the point of the point of the year where just make sure you got plenty of water if you're going up those mountains. Yeah, they've always recruited out of junior college ball. There's nothing that's going to change, even though they'll go and get their Division I transfers. You will definitely see, and I'm going to say you're going to see 6 junior college transfers in a year, but you're definitely going to see multiple junior college transfers each year for this program. These guys know it, that these guys also are playing for coaches who respect junior college baseball. Back on halftime, as we are, I guess, you don't have to necessarily do your travel to SEC Media Days today. You might conclude it on Sunday and get yourself ready for Monday when it all really starts to get going at the Omni in downtown Dallas. And, you know, one thing that will be majorly different is, does Nick Saban talk here at the SEC Media Days? He's not a coach any longer. Will he be part of the coverage on SEC Network or on ESPN since he's on game day? And, you know, I mean, he is the guy that everyone's going to want his opinion on what's going on in college football right now. So I'd imagine Coach Saban maybe there, just not wearing the Alabama A.
Another coach that I saw, Phil, and I just saw this today, so I'm sure it's been in the works, but Bill Belichick's going to go to Inside the NFL, 72-year-old. He's not made it no secret. He wants to coach again.
That's, yeah.
Is this a way to stay in it? What does he have to stay into, though? You know, but like, do you think he gets, I mean, he's a different type of cat. Do you think Bill Belichick is a head football coach in the NFL again?
It feels doubtful, doesn't
See?
It?
I don't think so either. Yeah.
It feels really doubtful.
Unless it's the Cowboys next year.
But there was only one, I feel there'd be only a certain owner that hires him. And I thought Arthur Blank would be that guy, but it felt, you know, not felt when you read about you know, Belichick looking for a job. He was undercut. He was undercut by the man he used to work for that told Arthur Blank he's difficult and he's insubordinate, and he basically talked Blank out of hiring him.
But he did win me 5 Super Bowls. But yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Those Super Bowls though, and all that. But yeah, he doesn't necessarily do all the things I want him to do. Except win football games. Just not this last year very much. Jerry Jones, though, does feel like that's an owner who would hire.
He wants one, right?
If you're doing that, it's a short-term fix. It's got to be a short-term fix. Think of, like Willie Fritz at Houston.
Phil Jackson going back to the Lakers those last couple years, yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's a short thing. It's like Dusty Baker to the Astros. You're only going to do this for 3 years or so, and in some cases, like Baker was hired by Houston to... because he didn't have a connection to the sign stealing, and everybody loves Dusty Baker. So you can't sneer, you know, when Dusty's managing this team that everybody hated. And yes, he did win a World Series with them, but that's what that would be. That's what that would be. And if it, and when McCarthy gets fired this season, because I don't think either this will be his last year. It'll be Dak's last year. So at that point, I think they would kick the tires maybe on Belichick. Maybe kick the tires on Belichick.
You look out there and see whose contract's coming up. You get Belichick with that defense. That's the thing that I keep going back, that if you can get a running back, get somebody to go with CeeDee Lamb. I don't know if Dak is the right guy, but your defense is good enough to win a Super Bowl. So that has to be at least halfway exciting if you're a Cowboys fan, or is it kind of a letdown knowing that your offense can't get it done?
All right, but who's going to play quarterback for him at that point? It's Vinny Testaverde, Drew Bledsoe, Matt Cassel, Cam Newton, Mac Jones, Tom Brady. Where did all the success come from?
You got to have the right QB. You're right.
I don't know if they've got the right QB now, but will they find one in a year?
They got to have a running game. I don't think Dak is the right one, but you'd have to look out there and see whose contract is open. And you got to get Dak some help. Dak, you got to get another A receiver. You got CeeDee Lamb, but you see how the game is. We all see how the NFL, you got to have two guys that can just beat man coverage, and then you can do something.
Got somebody who can beat man coverage because he got through our screener. He got through 45. It's Eduardo, who's I've given Eduardo already like 5 or 6 different nicknames. Today he's the Sherpa, and he's obviously hiking up Petit Jean Mountain right in the middle of the day when it is 94 degrees outside and he is sweating and he has decided now's the time to call. Eduardo, how are you?
Man, I'm doing great. You know, I call it tits to season, and it's fixing to start just around the corner. You know, Hootins, is there a better time of? You know, Putin's magazine out, high school football fixing to start soon, and the start of the football season. And, I mean, I just can't wait. Man, it's just my favorite time of the year. My wife calls it obsession. I call it passion. And, you know, is there a better time, Matt Jones?
Yes, sir. You're right. I'm with you, Eddie.
Well, hold on a moment here, Eduardo. Is this the best time of the year because it's all filled with optimism and a game hasn't been played yet and nobody's been injured? Or is the actual football season itself
football's
the best
time greatest
of the
year? Game on? Yes, it is.
Well, sir, I love it all. You know this. Even I'm middle-aged now, but I tell you one thing that never dies, and that's heart and passion. And so that never dies. That keeps me young at heart. And, you know, I got aboard the Hall train decades ago, and I'm going to die aboard the Hall train. Let me say this. You know, I know this stuff, but, you know, according to some media members, it's not going to be a very optimistic year. But I don't believe that. And I want the players to believe it. I don't want our fan base to believe it. I want the players to dictate what's going to happen on the field. And so I believe we got, I don't know nothing about Mr. Green. But when you talk about, you've heard me say this, if you'll be so gracious, moments in time. You got your co-host right there. You know, on game day, when I went to go see Matt Jones and call the Woo Pick Suey on Saturday, I was looking for the play he was on the mic. I was looking for that gallop that he was going to take off with. I don't know the athletic ability of Green, but I hope, whoa, when he takes off, he reminds me of Matt Jones, and he makes the play.
I hope that's what happens too, Eduardo. I really do. We'll learn a little bit about him next week. He'll be speaking on Thursday. He's one of the three that will be up there talking. And I have a feeling we'll get to know Taylen Green very, very well as we go throughout the football season this year.
Hickey and Hull Law Partners are now here for you and all your legal needs in Mena and the Little Rock area. Hickey and Hull Law Partners specializing in divorce, custody case, civil litigations, and more. Having over 7 decades of combined experience to better serve you and the community you live in. Please visit kevinhickeylaw.com or call us at 479-434-2414 for a consultation or come by an office nearest you. Things are about to get better.
Hi, everybody. This is Chris George from Joshua's Fine Jewelry in beautiful downtown Russellville. It's the most wonderful time of the year. Christmas gifts, weddings, heirloom family treasures. And at Joshua's Fine Jewelry, we only have one sale every year, and it's right now. Every single item in our store is value priced for Christmas. We do custom one-of-a-kind jewelry. If that's what you're looking for, come see us. You can get anything fixed for a Christmas gift. Selection, quality, service, and Christmas red tag prices now through Christmas at Joshua's Fine Jewelry in beautiful downtown Russellville.
Well, I got another transfer that has just announced he's going to be an Arkansas Razorback baseball player. This coming out, it looks like 10 minutes ago, former Vanderbilt infielder Camden Koziel is joining Arkansas. He's played mostly second base at Vanderbilt, got in with the Commodores for 43 games last year, hit .284, .349 on base, 5 homers, 8 doubles. Not a guy who steals bases, looks like middle infielder. So that is 13 Division I transfers, 6 junior college, and a total of 19 transfers coming in. This one takes me a little bit by surprise. I kind of thought they were done adding, but one more infielder to the list, which makes it, let's see here, that's 6 infielders. And then there are, I believe, 6 outfielders and the 1 catcher, too. And then your 3 pitchers. So, wow, it is kind of wild. Let's see what else we got going on. Yeah, I just mentioned that over-under. Matt Betsera's in 4.5 for Arkansas in number of wins.
45, it's in the air today.
It sure is. You're not kidding. What do you think about 4.5 wins, 45? You're looking at under or over, because I think that's probably where most people are centering around Arkansas. Matt, I know you've kind of centered around that as well.
I think 4.5 is probably the best line they could have given, obviously. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to say that I actually will probably take that over. I'm going to go ahead and say that 5 is probably the win total they're going to get this year. I can see them scratching off a couple SEC wins. They're only a few plays away from having good SEC records in the last couple seasons. And I think that this year is the year they finally turn the table. A little bit of extra football savviness, you know, in those crucial timeouts at the end of the game with Petrino being there. I think obviously it's going to come down to all these new transfers, but 4.5, that's the best line they could get. And I think they're going to get a lot of action on that.
You know, I feel you'll have a chance. I feel you'll be in enough games to break through 4.5 easily. It's just not a matter of you got to be able to finish it. You got to win those games. Being a couple plays away last year, and it's a whole different team now. I understand that. I'm not sure if that necessarily means it happens the next year in a positive way, but I think you'll have the chance to get way over 4.5 wins. It's just gonna, I think it'll come down to third down, what you do inside the red zone, and if you can create enough turnovers. 4.5. They have the conference win total over under at 2.5. So they're not at least this is Betsara's in. So and this is where they've started the odds on, And they've got everybody on college football right now. I went down the list and put some of them out there, and you got they got Alabama 9.5. When's the last time Alabama's over-under was under 10.5? Has to have been a long time. Auburn, 7.5. Colorado, 5.5. Florida, the same as Arkansas, 4.5. I think Florida's going to get better than 4.5. Georgia, Notre Dame, and Ohio State, and Texas are teams that the over-under is 10.5. Now, these are regular season games. Which one of these teams do you think would have the toughest time making it to 11 wins? I mean, remember, Georgia and Texas play each other this year. Texas, I'm looking at Ohio State, Notre Dame. No, they don't get figured into that. Ohio State's going to get over 10.5. I'll put that in the bank immediately. I'll put Georgia over 10.5 as well. I don't know what Notre Dame's schedule looks like. I remember what their rivalries are. But a lot of it has to do with the ACC teams that they'll be playing. And Texas at 10.5. I mean, I could see that going on too, but if they lose to Georgia, maybe not.
Florida's schedule is brutal. I could see them actually losing, you know, 10 games, actually. Yeah, their schedule is hard.
We've been through that schedule quite a few times.
Texas would be the answer to your question.
Think so?
On 10.5. First year in the SEC, you'll figure out what it's all about. You know, you don't get to go play TCU or Texas Tech or Kansas or, you know, this is Georgia, this is Alabama, this is Auburn. These are, this is Ole Miss, Tennessee. I mean, these are tough games. I think if you were to say, which you'd say, if Texas goes 10-2, you know what? They're in the playoff 12.
Yeah, you're right. But they also you would be under your bet if you bet the over on this. Yeah, Texas, again, this is not conference wins. Colorado State, Michigan, UTSA, ULM, Mississippi State. I think they'll be 5-0 going into the Red River rivalry. They get a bye week before that. Oklahoma, you never know with them. Like You got them last year. Texas was a more talented team. You never know. That's a losable game. Georgia after that, a losable game. They lose those two, you're under. So I think you're right. I'm not saying it's going to happen, but that is exactly something that could happen. Yes, Joe in Prairie Grove thinks we'll be getting a phone call from Brian anytime soon. Think so? You know where he'd be putting it. He'd be putting it over. He'd be putting it way over.
You want this Razorback team to figure it out a little bit. You have to be more competitive on offense. Travis Williams, year two. I feel like Petrino being there. I feel like Green being there. Travis Williams, his second year. All that together, that has to be 6 wins, right? Like you're thinking about this, doing their job and the quality that they are. 4.5, man, that's going to be a bummer if we don't get that over.
There's going to be a step forward offensively. I don't think there's a doubt about that. I like what the offensive line feels like. Hopefully Andrew Armstrong's going to make plays on the outside. I think you need another wide receiver that can be dynamic, you know, someone that you can really count as being a go-to guy. I like what you got as far as running backs, your tight ends. I mean, you're in a great place with your tight ends. A lot of it also just depends upon what Talen Green looks like in his first year with an SEC program. And then on the defensive side, man, I hope there's another pass rusher outside of Landon Jackson. I hope some of the depth that Clay Henry said he believes in as far as the linebackers are concerned is also there. I do like the secondary. So for me, a lot of it, Matt, depends on can Arkansas, it's not dominate on the line of scrimmage defensively. It's is there the kind of depth there to where you can scare a quarterback because you've got an extra pass rusher that's not just Landon? Will they be good against the run? Heck, we'll find that out the second week against Oklahoma State. I think the possibility is there to get way over 4.5. I think part of it is the belief that Arkansas just looking at last year and the year before is a team that struggles in a close ball game. But it's a different team now. It's a different, a different set of coordinators than it was, last year, or at least on the offensive side. And so you got to trust that a little bit.
Week two.
A lot of people are going to be going under, though, Matt. You know that. A lot of people will.
Week two, Phil, you brought this up, and I know we're doing talking season right now, but week two, that could be the whole answer to your question if we're going to go over 4.5 or not right there. If we go to Stillwater and come out with a W and look good, that could be kind of your springboard, so to speak, for the season.
Well, and it's also that'll tell you, you know, whether I guess I got to look at it in a different sense about the idea of the run. You know, Ollie Gordon is the best returning running back in college football right now. That offensive line is returning too. Does that, if you have a tough time stopping the run against Oklahoma State, does that also mean that you're going to have a tough time stopping the run against Auburn and A&M and Tennessee?
Yes.
And LSU?
Yes.
Probably so. You think so?
Just like what Coach Pittman, what happened last year, we didn't run the ball in that second game. And he's like, mm-hmm. No, it's because we couldn't run the ball. You know, if we can't stop the run against Oklahoma State, you're not going to be able to, you're going to have to load the box then. I mean, you're going to have to do something.
See, that's the moment where some people that, if they're on the BetSarazen app and they put a little wager on it and you bet the over, and if you feel a little bit different about that after the Oklahoma State game, well, there is bet swap. So you can sell your bet to somebody else that wants to put some money down on it and believes that the season isn't going to look like it did against Oklahoma State. JT says he's got to see it to believe it. He's bought in. He's drank. We don't need to be drinking Kool-Aid. The Kool-Aid that we always refer to killed the people that drank it. So let's find something else as far as that's concerned. It's like the whole idea of skinning cats, more than one way to skin it. We don't need to be skinning cats. We don't need to be killing two birds with a stone. We'll find something else to drink outside of the Kool-Aid.
No cyanide in my Kool-Aid.
Nah, just have a beer. You know, if it's the middle of the day, make it an O'Doul's or something, or one of those Heinekens that doesn't have any alcohol in it. You know, or Gatorade.
See Joe Montana with the Guinness 0.0?
You're a Guinness drinker. Are you going to go in that? Would you try that?
I'm sorry I brought it up.
That's what I mean. You know it's actually not going to
work. It was just Joe Montana. You know, he's looking good. You know?
It wasn't Joe Montana either. He wouldn't drink that. Joe Montana is way too cool. That actually doesn't Guinness have a really low alcohol?
Yeah,
content
it's lower than Bud Light, and it's real. It's not it. People get misconceived because it's a darker beer, and they think that it's really a low. So it's a low ABV.
It's really just liquid bread. It's liquefied bread. It's what that. You ever try Bitburger? That's what I always thought rye bread liquefied and thrown into a can tastes like. And I do like rye bread. You just can't put butter on beer. This is one of those songs that's pretty easy to insert your own lyrics if you really want to. It's an earworm, too. You know, that's one of those beats that can just kind of get stuck inside your head and you can't let it go and you just end up humming it for about 2 weeks straight. You know the one that I've had, you know, the song The Message by Grandmaster Flash?
Mm-hmm.
That's my current earworm. For some reason, it popped in my head the other day. I played it. I can't get it out of my head.
The one, the beat with Vanilla Ice and Queen, the same one they share, yeah. that one will happen a little bit too.
That'll stick with you too, that's for sure. You know, one thing I love, Matt Jones is, now I don't watch the late night talk shows, I just usually am asleep by then. Matt not only is watching some of the late night talk shows, he's watching the legend himself these days. Watch Carson on YouTube, huh?
Carson, your YouTube TV. Carson, to me, is one. I think Letterman would be two. And then whatever you're watching today, like if you're watching Fallon, I'm watching for the guest. I'm really not watching because of, you know, but it's Fallon's what he is, you know. But I think Carson did it the best.
And the jokes that you heard on the show then, it's a different kind of a joke, I guess, than you can hear now.
They said, what was his joke? He was doing one on Nebraska. He said, why did Nebraska go from the grass field to the artificial turf? So the cheerleaders wouldn't stay around and graze after the game.
that's
in 1983.
That was the joke. That is definitely a 1983 joke. Yeah, that is an 83 joke. I'd seen a podcast on the Apple Podcast app. I guess this was, I don't know, 7 months ago or something. It was a former producer of Carson's show that would, you know, he would highlight one specific show and tell you, you know, how the guest came around and what it was like behind the set and everything like that. And if I ever watched late night television and I was too young to be up at that time of the night, you know, when Carson was still around, but I watched Letterman in the 90s. Not Leno. I watched Letterman in the 90s.
If you live in Missouri, what does it mean when you see a rat in the kitchen? Time for dinner.
Delicious. Delicious. Yeah. I mean, now it's like, what do I do in bed when it's time to go to sleep? I pull my phone up. I've got this.
Seinfeld's the go-to. That's
you still need the TV on it at night?
Well, not when you go to sleep, you turn it off. But I'm saying, like, when you're getting ready for bed, you put something on that's kind of, that's just easy.
Yeah, something you've seen 85 times.
Absolutely. Seinfeld's a go-to. And it kind of stays the same tone. You don't want something that's going to be heavy and low. You just want something monotone almost.
Well, you know what I've been watching now. I started the series on Apple Plus called Presumed Innocent with Gyllenhaal, Scott Turow novel. It brings you right in. And the next thing I got to turn on, I'm trying to convince my son because I want to watch this with him. Netflix has Lost again, the former ABC series, and that's the first ever series I watched on Netflix. I got it as a gift, like a 3-month subscription. This must have been, I don't know, 14 years ago or something, 13 years ago. And I watched, for those who remember Lost, you remember how amazing that first episode was? If I watched that with my son on the couch, he'd be hooked because that first episode just draws you right in. I watched that episode and it's like, you want to see that episode on a giant screen because there's the plane crash and all the equipment on the airplane and there's just the bigness of the scene that's going on behind you. I watched that episode on a small, tiny little iPhone. Didn't quite have the same impact, but that'd be the next thing that I'd want to watch with him. He doesn't know who Johnny Carson is either. Nor does he know who Ed McMahon is. I don't think he even knows who David Letterman is. Or Jay Leno. He might know who Jimmy Kimmel is, maybe. Maybe. It doesn't quite have the same impact that it used to.
You're listening to the Eastside Liquor Halftime Podcast. Check out the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast at hitthatline.com.
This podcast has been presented by Bet Online.
This podcast is an exclusive property of Pearson Broadcasting. It may not be copied, reproduced, modified, published, uploaded, reposted, transmitted, or distributed in any way without Pearson Broadcasting's prior written consent.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.